Hello, I'm Louise Lubin, and this is a podcast titled, Give Yourself the Gift of Forgiveness. One definition of forgiveness is that it is the mental and or spiritual process of ceasing to feel resentment, indignation, or anger against another person for a perceived offense, a difference, or a mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. Most world religions include many teachings on the nature of forgiveness, and philosophers have also studied forgiveness. Today, psychology, sociology, and medicine are researching forgiveness and its importance in well-being. I will briefly describe what forgiveness is and what it is not, some of the health benefits of forgiveness, and offer you some ways to begin the process of forgiving. I've used the book Forgive for Good by Dr. Fred Luskin as a resource. Dr. Luskin has a forgiveness project at Stanford University, where he has brought individuals from Northern Ireland who have lost their family members to violence and taught them a process of forgiveness, which has shown positive results in these individuals' psychological growth and physical health. So, what is forgiveness? First of all, it is an emotional process that you do for yourself and not for the offender. It involves taking responsibility for how you feel and taking back your power. It helps you gain control over your feelings, and it is a choice. What forgiveness is not is condoning unkindness or inappropriate behavior. It is not excusing bad behavior. It does not deny your hurt feelings, or even mean that you must give up having feelings about the offense. It may not even involve any reconciliation with the offender. Forgiveness is a way of moving out of the past and into the present, and accepts that we can't change the past, but it allows us to change the present and the future. You forgive by challenging the rigid rules you have for others' behaviors and by focusing your attention on the good things in your life as opposed to the bad. It does not mean forgetting or denying that painful events have occurred. If I were to ask you to mentally just think about a situation in which you've had trouble forgiving, you would recognize that even thinking about the situation might cause your blood to boil. Now, in terms of your physical body, what this is doing is causing arousal and stress. When we think about a grievance, our body responds as if it were happening in the present moment, even if it happened 10 years ago. Our autonomic nervous system goes into the fight-or-flight response, which causes our heart rate to increase, our blood pressure to rise, our muscles to tense up. Research has been shown that reveals that people who are more forgiving report fewer health problems. Forgiveness leads to less stress and less physical symptoms of stress. People who even imagined forgiving an offender noted immediate improvement in their cardiovascular, their muscular, and their nervous system. Forgiveness leads to less depression and anger. Let's look at some of the ideas that Dr. Luskin has explained in his book, Forgive for Good. Exactly how does a long-standing hurt or grievance even get created? The first thing that happens is that we take a personal offense at somebody else's behavior. Something happens that we either didn't want or expect to happen. Second, we blame the other person for how we feel. And third, we create what he calls a grievance story. Then we think about this offense a lot. And as Dr. Luskin states, the problem rents too much space in our minds. There are times, of course, when it is useful and necessary to feel and get angry. We may have been mistreated, put in danger, or threatened. Anger is a good short-term solution to many of life's difficulties, yet rarely a good long-term solution to painful events. Anger is our way of reminding ourselves that we have a problem that needs attention. Yet, often we stay stuck in our anger instead of thinking clearly about what constructive action we might take. All painful life events have both a personal and an impersonal quality to them. When we focus solely on how something or someone personally caused us offense, we often lose sight of the fact that situations occur in life that are common to all human beings, and that some offensive behaviors are committed without intention of hurting us personally. Now, that's not saying that we should dismiss or trivialize what was done, or deny or excuse bad behavior. But, as I said, when we take a hurt personally, our bodies release stress chemicals and respond to what feels like perceived danger. When we feel this discomfort long after the specific offense or hurt has occurred, it's a sure sign that this is hurting us physically as well as emotionally. The stress response alters our ability to think as clearly as we need to. When we're under this influence and in this state of mind, we blame our distress on the person who hurt us, and thus we continue to give them the power to influence our body and our emotions. Feeling bad every time we think of the person who has hurt us becomes a habit, and it leads us to feel like we're a victim. A very important point to remember is holding people accountable for their actions is not the same as blaming them for how you feel. People must be accountable for their bad behavior, but blaming them for how you feel is a very different issue. Once more to repeat this, because I think it's really important. Holding people accountable for their actions is not the same as blaming them for how you feel. In our relationships, we all make rules for how we should act and feel, as well as how others should act and feel. We all have rules for how things are supposed to turn out. We have rules for just about everything. What's an appropriate dress or language or how others should treat us or our children should treat us. An enforceable rule is a rule and an expectation that we don't have the power to make happen. We may want this situation to happen, and when we cannot enforce our rule, we become angry, we become bitter, we become despondent, and sometimes helpless. Trying to enforce something you can't control is an exercise in frustration. The more unenforceable rules you have, the more agitated and disappointed you feel. This feeling of helplessness keeps you from figuring out what constructive action you can take. Sometimes what we hope for is not the same as what we get. It's not wrong to have desires, of course, but we can't always have our rules enforced. A very important first step in this process is to recognize what are the unenforceable rules that you have. When you do this, you take back the power that you give others to hurt you. When our minds are filled with helpless anger because our rules aren't being followed, we really have less energy available to think through our options. It is often hard enough to figure out what we need to do in a difficult situation. Working on letting go of the victim mindset allows you to work towards your own good and can improve your judgment and decision making. Forgiveness is only one response you can choose when you are hurt. It's a skill that you can learn. But before you're ready to forgive, there's three necessary preconditions. One is know what your feelings are about what's actually happened. Two is be clear about the action that has wronged you. And three, consider sharing your experience with at least one or two trusted people. Remember, forgiveness is not forgetting or condoning unkind actions. You may forgive, and the relationship with the offender may never be really repaired. Some fear that forgiveness means that you can't seek any justice. This is not true. Nor is it true that forgiveness must lead to any reconciliation. Forgiveness is the feeling of peace you have when you take your hurt less personally. You take responsibility for how you feel and become a hero instead of a victim in the story that you tell. It does not change the past, but changes the present. There is no timetable for forgiveness. It can only be on your timetable. So how do you move forward towards that feeling of peace that can come with forgiveness and reclaim responsibility for how you feel? One way is you must spend time finding what is good and beautiful and loving in your life to balance the time that you spend on feeling a grudge or a grievance. This is not so easy, but tuning in to what is right and good in your life and teaching yourself to look for it, because we all control what we focus on. Be aware of what others do give you and work to feel a sense of gratitude and forgiveness. Notice what is right. And remember the times in your life when you were cared about. Use the stop technique that I spoke about in Taming the Dragon of Fear and bring attention to your breath. Breathing in a sense of thanks and breathing out tension and anger. Take a short breathing space and focus your thoughts on what is a positive intention and what do you need to do now for yourself. Be sure to check out the resource on maintaining hope, because again, no matter what happens to us in life, what we hope for has to continue to change and alter as our life and our circumstances change. Dr. Luskin speaks of his HEAL method, and I would give you what he means by HEAL. H is for hope. What do you hope as a positive outcome in this hurtful situation? What's the goal underneath the hope? What do you want? E is educate. Educate yourself about the way life operates. Every hope has several outcomes. Success or failure. We must learn to accept the uncertainty of life and accept that loss is a part of most grievances. And we cannot avoid loss and at times some sadness. A of heal is to affirm your positive intentions. Give some time and energy to identifying what you do want. And L is for long-term commitment to your long-range well-being of working on dealing with your hurts. Look for people who have healed from similar grievances. Perhaps other people have gotten stuck and may be able to offer you some helpful hints. If you need more time to really think about your grievance, take a short time each day and practice refocusing your emotions on what's right and good, and use your breathing space to get there. Dr. Luskin's resource on 9 Steps to Forgiveness is offered on the page of this website and this podcast. I want to leave you with just a few good quotes on forgiveness. You might find others that you like and connect with you better, but here's a few. Gerald Jampolsky says, "Forgiveness means letting go of the past." Martin Luther King said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a permanent attitude." And a man named Lewis Smades said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Thanks for listening.